Names of the Spirit. We've been studying on him, and I don't exactly know what and how many times we've talked about him, but we'll talk about the Spirit and the names of it. There's meaning in names, is there not? Hey, and you know, I call my wife. I call her Sue, and so you know, if anybody hears me say, "Hey, Sue," I'm talking to my wife, Cindy. You don't call her that. I'm the only one reserved to call her that, and so when I say Sue, that's everything's fine, everything's great. If I say Cindy, things are getting a little bit more serious, and a little bit more serious. If I say Cynthia Suzanne, that means I want her attention now, right? Like, hey, hello, right? Then when I say honey and things like that, that's great as well. But names have meaning. And here, the Spirit of Christ, we read in verse number 9 of Romans 8. It's amazing how, right, because we understand the Holy Spirit seals. We understand that according to Ephesians. And how many people want to be saved without instituting the Holy Spirit? How many people want to be saved with denying Christ's full work? Right? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So if we want the full salvation which God gives, there's no part, there's no half. It's either you're all in or all out. We have to do it through the Spirit. Interesting. All right. So I have a lot of different verses here. We'll go through these first ones pretty quick. The last three I'd like to spend a little time on. And if you get it first and you start and you read it, then I'll throw you a blow pop. Hopefully it don't hit anybody in the thing. But after you read it, then you can't answer anymore. Okay, here we go. Ephesians. Well, put your Bibles up. Let's do it that way. Let's do actual, old-fashioned sword drill. You know, if you cheat, that's between you and the Lord. You're in church and you are reading verses of the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will be grieved if you cheat during this game, boys and adults. Some adults, I suppose. Ephesians 1:13, go. Okay. No, she didn't cheat. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I love that he's the Spirit of promise. I mean, God keeps his word. Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, here we go. Next. Bible's up. Lainey, you're out. She's actually the first winner. John 16:8. John 16:8. Go. Brother McElroy. He definitely cheated. 16, okay. This is dangerous. Okay. Yeah, right there. Ms. Davis. Okay, good. 16. You guys are out of control. 16:8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Look down with me, please, in verse number 11. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He's the Spirit of judgment. And I realize that Christians believe that we should be the Spirit of judgment. I understand that. But the reality is that one of the names that are attached to the Holy Spirit is that he is the Spirit of judgment. I mean, he is the one who brings judgment to the world. He also says he is the one who reproves of sin. It's his job. It's one of his titles, one of his names, that he is the Spirit of judgment. And this world is judged. All right, let's see. All right, Bible's up. John 16. I know you're all like, I was just there. 13. John 16, 13. John 16, 13. Go. Okay, Brother Brad. There is a TV right there. And this is going to be for you, okay? I'm not that brave. Howbeit when he, what does it say? The spirit of? Okay, let's say it again. The spirit of? He's the spirit of truth. And I realize that truth is under attack today, yes? Truth has become relative. Truth has become situational ethics. Like the situation determines what truth is, but the reality is truth is the baseline, and the Holy Spirit, He is truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He brings forth the truth. I mean, that's why it's so important that we get into the Bible. Why? Because the Bible was breathed by the Holy Spirit. It is truth, absolute truth. He's the Spirit of truth. All right? Here we go. I was up. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. Let's just do 2. Isaiah 11, 2. Go. Cindy. Sue. That's right. Every one of you were up before her. Oh, sorry. Let's look there, if you would, 11, 1 and 2. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. We're talking about Jesus Christ here, correct? Verse number 1. We're talking about the Spirit, about Jesus Christ. Here's what the Word of God says is going to rest. The Spirit is going to come, and this is what. Here's some names of the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You could say it this way. You have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding and the spirit of counsel and the spirit of might and the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of fear of the Lord. Hey, listen, those are all attributed to who the Holy Spirit is. Do you see how important it is that we might live and be surrendered unto the fullness of the Spirit of God so that those things might be applicable to our life? Who needs the spirit of wisdom? And has anybody's heart ever got them in trouble? Yeah, every one of us have bought As Seen on TV because you thought you couldn't live without it. And most of us have regretted that. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of understanding. Anybody ever got to the Bible in a place in the Bible you just didn't quite understand it? Maybe you're in a place in which the Lord has placed you in and you don't quite understand it. Human reasoning will fail. But we can turn to the Spirit, who's the Spirit of understanding. Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might. Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Okay, good. Let's look at these three just a little bit this evening. And if the Lord will, we will be done. I believe He wills it, so we'll be done early, okay? So the names of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Christ, we have the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of judgment, the Spirit of truth, Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. Those are all attributed to the Holy Spirit. If we could, here we go. Sorry, I almost got ahead of myself. Bible's up, Hebrews 1, 9. Hebrews 1, 9. Go. Toby, do you have it? Okay, go ahead. Let me get there as well. Hebrews 1:9 speaks here of the oil of gladness. If you're aware I'm from, come from, oil of gladness. But I'll try to say oil tonight so we all understand what I'm speaking about. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And if you go back, he's speaking of the Son of God, but the Holy Spirit rests upon him. One of the names of who the Holy Spirit is the oil of gladness. And in throughout the Scripture, you will find that oil is a type of representation of the Spirit of God. Here he speaks of gladness. What is gladness? Joy. A moderate degree of joy and exhilaration. Pleasure of mind. Cheerfulness. We as Christians as a whole need to be anointed again with the oil of gladness. Not the oil of sadness. Not the oil of discouragement. Listen, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us if we are saved. And that, because of who He is the oil of gladness. And He can come in and He can make some situations in your life. You can be glad again. I mean, you think about who Jesus Christ is and who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus Christ went through. And it says He had the oil of gladness. Anybody ever needed to be more glad than you are glad right now? I don't know, does that make sense? And some of you all said yes, so that did make sense. You're glad. Glad is a little low tonight, this last week, this last month. He's the oil of gladness. And Christ was anointed. And anytime you speak of the anointing, it always has to be attached with the Holy Spirit. If you find that in 1 John, you have the anointing, you have an unction from the Holy Spirit that you might understand all things. And here, the Holy Spirit is attributed to be the oil of gladness. Let's do one more verse according with this. Just an idea. Psalm 92, 10, go. Okay, go ahead. Horn of a unicorn, that's correct. Should be anointed with fresh oil. Here's what Christians need today. They need to be anointed again with the fresh oil of gladness. There should be no Christian because of what Christ has done in your life, what Christ is going to do in your life, and what Christ has already done in your life. There should be no Christian that lives in a state of sadness. I know we go through hard times. I have been there. And the valleys sometimes are deeper and longer than anyone would ever want them to be. But even in the midst of the valleys, even in the midst of the mountaintops, even in the midst of great trial, you have the oil of gladness to anoint you so that you might go through your journey gladly. It didn't always mean enjoyable. It didn't always mean happiness. But hey, listen, you have gladness that is attached to your life. You have joy attached to your life. The first two evidences of the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And by default, that will create gladness. Love and joy. I didn't see you're going to be walking around, praying around, oh, I'm so happy today. Okay, don't do that. That'd be weird. That looked weird, I'm sure. I don't know, that was a well-timed yep. If I've ever heard one. But Christians, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit lives in each and every Christian who's been saved and believed on Jesus Christ. And by default, if we allow the Holy Spirit to reign king in our life, we can be anointed with the oil of gladness. Gladness. Where are you at tonight? The Spirit should bring gladness to the surrendered life. Gladness to the spiritual surrendered life. All right, here we go. Next. Hebrews 10:29. Hebrews, go. Okay, Nikki, I saw you in the back. Okay. Thad, I'm going to throw this to you. Hopefully I don't hit Herb. And, maybe I want to hit Herb. And, I was aiming for Tim on accident there. Yeah, that was not. The Spirit of grace. So we talked about the oil of gladness. And I would say most Christians need that. And I would say most Christians need a continual, Lord, I need a fresh anointing of oil of gladness. I need a fresh anointing. I'm sorry that I've been ugly. I'm sorry I've been cranky. Sorry I've been hard to live around. Sorry that I've fussed and fumed and fighted in the midst of this trial that you've let me be in. Would you re-anoint me, God? But speaking with that, the Holy Spirit is not only mentioned as the oil of gladness, He's mentioned as the Spirit of grace. So what do Christians need? Gladness. Where should it show up? On your face. Oh yeah, I'm glad. Okay, thanks for telling me, because I would have never known with your face. It's sort of like when one of my kids come and like say something and like want me their, you know, tell me their opinion, and I'll say, I am so sorry. My face showed that I cared what you thought. I will work better next time. That you will know I don't care. That's the way Christians are. Wait a second, you're saved? Shocker. Wait a second, you're happy? People should be able to look at you, oh, there's something different about that person. I'm not saying you should walk around. I'll take a hamburger! That's weird. And no lie, that's a side note. Can't take a very long side note here. There's this fellow in Ripley. I cannot remember his name. I do remember Fantastic Permalik. Fantastic. It's longer. It's like business, the front part and the back. It was fantastic. He always went to this one church, and he's been faithful there for my mom. She'll tell me, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And he is the most bubbly personality. Isn't God good today? Yeah, yes, he is. He's scaring me right there. We don't always have to be like that, although he personifies that personality, but we can look glad. But in the midst of that, not only do we need gladness, we need grace. We need grace, the spirit of grace. And I realize that grace is being trampled on today and making it, hey, you can do whatever you want, however you want, because they have grace attached to your life. And the Bible, just this is another little side note. Should we continue in sin? God forbid. Should we continue sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. Hey, listen, grace is not so that we can continue doing. Grace is so we can stop doing. I mean, come on now. Let's not make the grace of God turn into lasciviousness so we can do whatever we want. But we, speaking here of the Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of grace. Has anyone ever needed extra grace? Anybody ever needed extra grace to handle a situation with someone else? Anybody ever need extra grace to overcome sin? Maybe to deal with some bad news? Maybe you have to go to work? Maybe to raise children? Anybody ever need extra grace in raising children? When you think, Lord, I'm going to kill that kid. God help me. Anyway, maybe to give a blessing. Anyone ever needed something that you could not give yourself? Turn to the Spirit of grace. Hey, we as Christians, not only should we be glad, but we should be also graceful. I mean, think about what Jesus Christ, He was full of grace and truth. He was the perfect balance of having truth, but also balancing with grace. Hey, listen, we can be graceful Christians. Christ, who was fully surrendered to the Spirit, was full of grace. That's who He was. Instead of casting a stone, He lovingly rebuked. He never did condemn her, nor did He condone. Hey, go and sin no more. And He pointed everybody else's sin out, but He had grace. Instead of defending His innocence, He remained quiet. Sometimes it takes extra grace to keep your mouth closed. Well, let me just tell you, hey, when you got to say those words, I take a step back before you just let them have it. Because you may have to eat those words later. Spirit of grace. Instead of casting His disciples aside for lack of faith, He taught and prayed for them. Anybody ever need extra grace in your Christian walk? Anybody ever need grace in your dealings with people? Sure, we all do, do we not? Do you ever need grace when you see a situation, man, you just want to come down hard and, God, help me deal with it correctly. God, I need grace to overcome. He's a Spirit of grace. So we have the oil of gladness, we have the Spirit of grace. All right, Bible's up. John 14, 26. John 14, 26. Go. Okay, Travis, you got it?
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Okay, it says but the who? Comforter. But the who? comforter, okay? All right, your Bible's up. John 15, 26. Go. Brother McElroy, you're right up. Randy, go ahead. But when the comforter, that's interesting, I ought to use my hand. But when the comforter is come, the comforter is come. One more, Bible's up. John 16, 27, go. Okay. Yes. Okay, great. I'm pretty sure I wrote that down wrong. Here it says, that's because you stood up and you're pretty. Okay, here we go. But you cannot catch. The comforter. The comforter. So we talked about the oil of gladness. We talked about the spirit of grace. And we have spoken to some degree about the aspect and the personality of the Spirit, but let's look at, he's called the Comforter. The Comforter. Here the Bible is speaking that, hey, there's going to be a void left when Christ would ascend to heaven after his finished work of salvation. And he made a promise. Okay, here, he made the Spirit of promise that there would be one to come and fill his position. Jesus Christ literally walked on this earth. Jesus Christ discipled actual humans. Jesus Christ walked on the water. Jesus Christ rode in the boat. Jesus Christ saved a man of Gadara. Jesus Christ did all of these things. He was there. Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples. Jesus Christ rebuked Peter, okay? Jesus Christ did all those things. And he says, hey, when I leave, there is going to be a void. But do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, because there is someone to come and take my place. That's why he's called the Comforter. He was going to come in the absence of Jesus Christ, and now he came, and he was the comforter of the early apostles and the disciples and the church. He was there, and he was a comfort to them. Definition of comforter, called to one side. And in the widest sense, a helper, a securer, an aider, an assistant. He is a comforter in the realest sense. You may ever needed comfort before, and you struggle to find it humanly. There are some times in your life that you're going to go through something that no one else can understand. You're going to go through some things that, man, just you have some deep hurts within you and you need some comfort, and people cannot give it to you. Pepsis and tacos cannot give it to you. You're like, where do I go? What do I do? Maybe it's losing a loved one. Maybe it's a trial of sickness. Maybe it's something at work. To each one of us is different, yeah? There's not one certain thing. It's like, well, that's not a big deal. It's not a big deal to you, but whatever's a big deal to you wouldn't be a big deal to them. He's a comforter. He can comfort you when you're sad, and when you're hurting, when you're lonely. In a more deep sense, he is more than comforter. He is that which Christ was, one who walks with you, one who goes with you, one who teaches you, one who helps you, truly to give comfort. Comfort from the Scripture. Comfort from prayer. Comfort from encouragement. Comfort from fellowship. This is who he is. That is his name. He is the Comforter Jesus Christ speaks about in John. And yet we find ourselves lonely. We find ourselves sad. We find ourselves discouraged. You say, well, you don't know what I've been through. I understand that. You don't know what I've been through. He is the comforter. He is the one who lives inside of you. He is the one who wants to walk beside you. He is the one who wants to have full authority of your life so that he can give comfort, so that he can give grace, so he can give gladness whenever you might need it. Just so now that Jesus has gone to the Father, we have another person. Just as divine as he is, just as wise as he is, just as strong as he is, just as loving as he is, just as tender as he is, just as ready and just as able to help, who is always right by our side. Yes, better yet, who dwells in our heart will take hold and help if we only trust him to do it. He is the comforter. So why not receiving comfort? is he to have authority over your life? Well, I'm not receiving comfort. Have you surrendered to his leadership? Have you asked for his help? Well, I'm not glad. Have you asked to be anointed with gladness once again? I need grace. Here's what we do. Let's put in a little picture and we'll be done. I'm going to shut her off in at least 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Paul says to the Holy Spirit of the church of Ephesus, neither give place to who? Okay, neither give place to the devil. So if we understand that, we are sealed until the day of redemption, correct? So he says, neither give place, meaning, hey, do not step over and give ground to Satan's who does not own that ground. Right? Does that make sense? Meaning, if we have Satan a part of our life, is because we've stepped over and let him stand right beside of us, because he doesn't own that ground. Who owns that ground? God owns that ground. We are his temple. Right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. All right? So anything that is inside of us, it is the Spirit of God, is the incorruptible seed. It is divine nature that was given to us through the Holy Spirit by Christ. Right? So we scoot over. Let Satan have place in our life. He says, hey, neither give place to the devil. So we kick him out, and now we allow the Holy Spirit to fill that and say, Holy Spirit, I need your gladness, I need your grace, and I need your comfort. We get discouraged, and so we just bail. We get discouraged, and we just live in a sad pity party. We as Christians, we are already victorious. We are already victorious. You see, you don't know what happens. We are already victorious. If this church was to fall apart and us all die, we are already victorious. Why? Those that are saved, I did not fear. Well, death may come. Great. See ya. Catch you on the other side. We're only going to live forever. I mean, we're already victorious, but we live like we've lost. Hey, listen, we've not lost. The Holy Spirit has come and has filled us. He is the oil of gladness. He is the Spirit of grace. He is the comforter. That's it. I said 2 minutes. Heavenly Father, we sure do need you. I ask you to help us now.
He walked along the shores of Galilee. From clay he formed the healing balm that caused the blind to see. While stones of wrath lay heavy in their hands, he knelt to write his mercy in the sand. Jesus came to set the captive free, showed us by the way he lived the way we need to be. Oh, love is more than words could ever say. We must touch him with compassion to help them find their way. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? Could we be so busy being saved, trying to impress a world that's long since lost its way? We pride ourselves in being set apart, but we don't have time to touch a broken heart. Even if we found the time to care, would we take the risk involved in always being there? We hold the very thing they need so much. Sometimes the word of God can pass through just one sin. can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? We hide behind these walls in the security of friends. But beyond the stained glass window, the world is lost in sin. World we never touch. How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch?